Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on. It's Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom.
It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
It is indeed the Annie Fry Show. Ryan Wiggins is in the house. Katie Fitzpatrick. My name's John Hancock. I'm filling in. This will be my last day filling in for a while Annie enjoys that brand new baby. And joining us right now is our regular contributor. He's a Fox News contributor, DeRoy Murdoch. Hey, you can't talk to Annie. I'm sorry about that. But welcome back to 97.1.
Well, you know, your voices are so similar. I thought you were Annie there until you gave your name.
Well, you know, people do
hormone
mix
changes after the baby.
They mix us up quite a bit. Yeah, yeah.
How are the stretch marks, John? Are you getting back to normal?
I've got them, buddy. But that's a story for another day, DeRoy. So you've got a fascinating piece up about what's happening. We were discussing our energy situation and inflation earlier in the show. Gas prices going through the roof and so forth. And part of the reason for that are the policies of the Biden administration. What's going on?
Yeah, well, one of the reasons that people are paying more at the pump is that we're moving under Joe Biden from the America First energy independence approach of Donald J. Trump and his administration to green New Deal first, or climate change first, whatever you want to call it, which is the approach of the Biden administration. On his very first day in office, I think even before the inaugural parade, he put a hot machete in the back of the Keystone Pipeline. About 11,000 Americans who've been working on that particular project, many of them union members, many of them making a lot of good money, suddenly found themselves unemployed. And there wasn't even like a 30-day cooling off period, or 90 days to go get new jobs or whatever. They were just basically thrown out on the street. So that happened. That, over the long run, reduces the amount of petroleum and fossil fuels coming into this country. And that began, I think, the increase in gas prices, which I think are up something like 18-19%, something like that, if I remember the numbers correctly. And then you have this very odd situation where the pipeline in between Russia and Germany, the Nord Stream 2 pipeline, that's now been approved, or at least the sanctions that had stopped it under Trump have been removed. Now Russia is going to be able to deliver its natural gas to Germany. Germany basically will be inserting a needle, almost like a heroin needle, and becoming addicted to natural gas coming in from the Kremlin. That has, of course, enormous strategic and even potentially military repercussions when you've got one of the biggest NATO allies depending on Vladimir Putin for its gas supply. If, let's say, he goes into Ukraine and Germany wants to respond militarily or even diplomatically, and he's not happy, he can say, all right, well, Germans, let's just turn off the natural gas and see how you feel. And all of a sudden, people from Hamburg to Munich are going to be shivering in their apartments, their homes. And I think the German government will think long and hard before it offers that sort of resistance to the Kremlin it should in that kind of a situation. Donald Trump had that thing stopped. Joe Biden's approved it and let it go through. And what's even more amazing, even from an environmental standpoint, which is maybe the one way you could defend killing the Keystone Pipeline if you're concerned about CO2 and all that, I think that's a phantom concern in my view. But if that is what bothers you, the amount of money that was, or I should say the amount of carbon dioxide that would be reduced by killing the Keystone Pipeline, 74% of those savings are eliminated by green lighting or removing the sanctions from the Nord Stream 2 pipeline. So if you really believe in, you know, climate change and global warming and all this, any applause you'd give Biden for killing the Keystone Pipeline, about 75% of that applause has got to go away, because the CO2 produced by the natural gas coming out of Nord Stream 2 is just going to wipe out three-quarters of whatever environmental benefit you could say accrued from killing the Keystone Pipeline. So very odd state of affairs and not at all good for the American people.
You know, DeRoy, I hear you talking about the pipeline. I'm looking at your article here in foxnews.com, and I appreciate you kind of, you know, bringing up the counter argument of the environmental and addressing that, because that of course is the reason, I guess, the reasoning that they're giving, even if it doesn't make any sense. But when we talk about the pipeline, you know, there's another area of energy that Joe Biden's kind of skated on that nobody's really hitting on, that I wondered if you could address. And that's these leases on land for new drilling. He's completely stopped that. So it's not just stopping the pipelines. He's stopping pretty much any drilling, new drilling across the entire country. I can't see why he's doing that.
Yeah, this is all just part of this whole green agenda that, you know, oil is evil. Oil is a terrible thing. Oil has to be stopped at all costs. When you reduce the supply of any commodity and the demand for it either stays the same or goes up, you're going to see prices increase. And as this economy begins to move forward again, now that the COVID pandemic is increasingly in the rearview mirror, you're going to have more demand for oil as people and gasoline as people take road trips. I'm taking a road trip through New England for 5 days starting tomorrow. I'll be going to the pumps with a friend of mine, and I don't look forward to that. I'm sure other people listening to our broadcast have their own trips planned, either by car or by plane or whatever. All that increases the demand for fuels. That will then push up the price, as we have basically the supply being flattened and the demand going up. And, you know, one of the things about this that really bothers me is people who hate oil. You know, it's not just about gasoline and jet fuel. We have oil and oil-based related products in shampoo, in plastic bottles, in fleece jackets, in all sorts of devices, medical devices. You know, if you like IUD devices for birth control, those have plastic. There's oil in almost every single commodity you can imagine, other than things that we eat. And if people hate oil, then there's a lot of stuff they're going to have to give up, you know, from skis to surfboards to skateboards and on and on and on, including a lot of things people on the left tend to like.
We are enjoying our conversation with DeRoy Murdoch, a Fox News contributor here on the Annie Fry Show. You know, you mentioned, touched on the foreign policy implications of all of these energy policies. The United States, by becoming energy independent, it made the Middle East less critical for us. That was a helpful thing. And mm-hmm. and here with the Germany-Russia relationship with the natural gas pipeline, that makes our ability to go after Putin on behalf of NATO somewhat perilous. And, you know, so there are real world foreign policy implications of these things.
Enormous. Vis-a-vis NATO, if we've got Germany and other countries in Western Europe dependent on natural gas from the Kremlin, they'll know that. And I think they'll be hesitant about certainly any kind of a military response against anything Russia would do, but perhaps even diplomatic responses, just to come out with a statement saying, you know, get your tanks off the Ukrainian border. If they're afraid, especially if it's cold and it's, you know, 10 degrees out in the middle, it's easy to do in the summer. But if it's in the wintertime and you think that Putin might cut off the natural gas, as he has done in the past with the Ukraine and other powers, they'll think twice and maybe even thrice before they engage in putting out a, you know, joint communique or certainly any kind of a military response, like putting maybe missiles in Poland or putting a group of soldiers somewhere in somewhere in the Czech Republic or something of the sort. This kind of thing will make it more difficult for us to stand up to Vladimir Putin, not easier. And then in terms of the Middle East, if we're more forgive the pun, over barrel with the Middle East. It makes it harder for us to do what we did with the Abraham Accords and these Middle East peace deals that President Trump was able to secure with Israel, Bahrain, Morocco, four deals altogether, including the Sudan, which was up until that point on the State Department's list of states state sponsors of terrorism. We were able to move them from a state sponsor of terrorism to a country signing a peace deal with Israel. Just imagine that alone. And part of the reason was that we were not in a situation where the Arab oil companies could say, look, you know, you carry on with your diplomacy, we're going to cut off your oil. Then cut off the oil, we're now energy independent, at least we were under Trump. And so we had a lot more leeway to say, look, you know, we're going to do what we want diplomatically. We're no longer dependent on you for our energy. Now we're becoming at least marginally more dependent on the Middle East as we cut off our own domestic supplies. And it's going to make that kind of diplomacy even more complicated and more difficult to achieve the kind of peace agreements we want.
You know, DeRoy, we're talking about these international relationships, but kind of through the lens of energy, but it really applies to everything on the heels of G7 last week and, you know, Biden meeting with Putin. It was very clear. You hear the words global minimum tax and you think, I don't know that those three words have ever been in a sentence when Donald Trump was speaking together. But now that's, you know, that's really being talked about. It won't work unless you have more than seven nations involved. But the idea is that they're doing all these things globally, like you're saying, with energy. Is that kind of the point? Is that to kind of overall, you're just kind of undermining U.S. sovereignty over and over?
Well, that's exactly right. The people on the left seem to dislike the idea of America being responsible for its own destiny. They want everything to be wrapped up with international organizations, the United Nations, these multilateral bodies. And anytime we want to go to the bathroom, we got to take a vote and make sure everyone's cool with that. You know, that doesn't mean we need to be a belligerent, obnoxious country, but we ought to be able to go about our own affairs without having to contact Brussels and raise our hand and you know, see if the teacher will let us, you know, get up and give us a hall pass to go to the bathroom or something like this. This is the basic idea of Biden, that everything we do has to be cleared by, you know, the world, if you will. And we're unfortunately lashing our future and our diplomatic and energy and other types of flexibility to what people overseas want to do rather than what we think is important from the standpoint of America's national interest.
Well, we know that the Colonial Pipeline was shut down by hackers in Russia. We do know that. We don't know with any certainty whether or how much the Russian government was involved in that. What have we learned about this? Because this is that can happen again.
It could happen again. And Biden came out very early, I think 2-3 days after the Colonial Pipeline was shut down, and said, oh, well, our intelligence tells us the Kremlin was not involved. Now, maybe that's true. Maybe the Kremlin didn't order this or didn't know about it. But if I were president of the United States, I would say, look, whether the Kremlin ordered this or not, I expect Vladimir Putin, with all of his extensive secret police resources, to get to the bottom of this, figure out who did this, and put the culprits on a plane and come to the United States to be interrogated, then prosecuted, and extradited, interrogated, and prosecuted in that order. Now, I don't know if Putin would go ahead and do that, but at least from a diplomatic standpoint and from a public relations standpoint, we want to be on record saying we take this seriously and we expect repercussions, we expect cooperation to figure out who did this at a bare minimum. If it turns out the Kremlin, in fact, did this, then we've got to sanction these people and make them pay a price and make them feel the pain for doing so. But Biden basically stepped up and said, well, we don't think they did it, and by the way, let's have a summit in 2 or 3 weeks and reward the Kremlin for either permitting, allowing, or at least, as far as we can tell, not interfering with hackers getting into the Colonial Pipeline and then about a week or two later interfering with JBS, I believe it's called, which is the biggest meatpacking country in America.
Yeah, really good, really fascinating stuff, DeRoy. We appreciate your time and your insight. It's great having you on the Annie Fry Show.
Great to be with you. Thanks very much.
All right, take care. Well, that was disconcerting, wasn't it?
Well, I mean, it's stuff that's happening. You got to talk about it. If you don't, then that's the problem. Is that Biden does so many of these things, and nobody's pushing back on him. So you have to bring up these terrible negative things that are happening.
Well,
otherwise, nobody's talking about it.
It's happening, and you're not going to hear the mainstream media talking about this stuff.
Yeah.
And these are real effects that affect our country, both domestically and over the the globe, you know, and it's
they affect your wallet. That's where it really matters right now, doesn't it?
It's exactly right. Well, we got to step aside for just a moment. That voice you hear over there was Wiggy and my good buddy Wiggy, and of course Katie is on hand here. John Hancock in for Annie Fry. We'll see you right around the corner, right here on 97.1.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest. Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Yes. Lord, I was born a rambling man, and I was. John Hancock, I'm still rambling or rumbling or whatever I'm doing over here. I'm in for Annie Fry. I do know that on 97.1. It's the Annie Fry Show. And Wiggins is over here, Katie. Now, we're going to talk about something I haven't done in 31 years.
Mm-hmm.
Dating.
Mm-hmm.
Dating. So, Katie, what's going on out there?
So, I was surfing Twitter today trying to find some good content to talk about with you gentlemen, and I found something that made me laugh out loud.
Oh.
I mean, absolutely hilarious.
All right.
And the headline, this is from Fox News, Netflix debuts bizarre new dating show called Sexy Beasts, where singles dress as animals on blind dates.
What?
Now, let me remind you, 2020 for Netflix was the blind date palooza. Everything on Netflix, it was all about the reality TV blind dates or just dating in general because people were cooped up in their house and they thought, hey, this is a great time to release all this reality TV BS. So there was Love is Blind. There was Too Hot to Handle. There was a bunch of stuff being released in 2020 from Netflix.
I have not heard a single one of those shows.
So I watched them.
They must have your metrics and mind figured out.
Yes, and I watched them.
Yeah. See, you're the demographic everybody's after.
Correct, yeah. Correct. 28. Yeah. I mean,
nobody
I'm
cares
married,
about us,
but 28, young female, bored out of her mind. Let's just watch this and have my brain go to mush.
So people are dressing up like animals and going out on. You know, I said a few years ago, we're going to start having people marrying animals.
Oh, gosh.
But
you never knew it was going to get here.
I didn't know it would come to this.
That's funny because a few years ago I said, you know what would be great on Netflix is a show about people dressing up like animals and going out on dates.
Yeah,
this is,
I can't believe this.
You watched a little bit of the trailer,
but
Netflix released a trailer for its new strange dating app. Sexy Beasts, which has many viewers scratching their heads. According to the preview, the bizarre new dating series will see singles go out on a series of dates with other singles. That's not the bizarre part, guys.
What?
However, in an effort to prove that looks aren't everything, they're eliminating them from the equation by having every participant receive movie-quality prosthetics to hide their appearance and make them look like animals.
Huh.
According to Variety, the show is based on Lion TV's original British series from the BBC 3 that premiered in 2014 because, you know, we have to take everything from the BBC. Each episode will see one single person looking for love go on three dates with a potential match, all in professional makeup. At the end of the episode, the single person will choose their favorite of the three before they're allowed to see what the other person looks like without the prosthetics.
Huh. It's like one person who's dressed like an elephant or something goes out on a date with somebody dressed as an ostrich.
Uh-huh.
But just a face, right? It's not like they're not full ostrich outfit.
It's not like, we talked about this a little bit.
The Masked Singer.
It's like the Masked Singer, only you're correct. It is like face and neck, totally prosthetics, and then like the rest of your body is covered with something. I did see on the promo that there was a guy in a lion outfit, and it was like full-on, like, lion arms and stuff like that.
You just can't seem to hide your lion eyes.
You can't.
You know that old song?
I do.
Yeah.
But, I mean, how wacky. So they have...
Crazy.
So it's one person going on three different dates, all of them in different type of gear and garb and makeup. And they're... I mean, how do you sit across from someone that's dressed as a dolphin and try to have a serious conversation about life and dating
Saying
one another?
Saying that some of those costumes were animals was... an affront to animals, because some of those things look like, what in the world is that?
Yeah,
like just some
like
sort
alien.
Of like horror looking beast.
Yes.
So it's like the elephant man goes out with the ostrich woman and then the tiger woman.
Now, wait a minute now. So let's say we're doing this. All right. Now here I come in and I'm looking like an iguana.
Okay.
Uh-huh. And,
iguana,
and
great
I'm going out with old orangutan over here.
Okay.
So, we'll go out on a date. Now orangutan, I know her name, right? I mean, doesn't she tell me that her name is,
Melissa? I don't know.
Because my point is, the very first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to Google up Melissa over here and see what she looks like.
I don't know if you know their last names.
I don't know if you know their name.
You just know their first name.
Well, if you go on a date, you're talking, you say, hey, Melissa, what's your last name?
There's probably producers right there going,
what kind of a date is that? You got a producer sitting right there.
Reality TV.
Yeah, it's a reality TV date.
Yeah, I don't
think gonna be
I'm
a hot
not
tub.
For this. I'm not for this.
I mean, it's just so wacky. This is the point, and I have not seen anyone... on Twitter, at least, so take that for what it is. I have not seen anyone who have tweeted this promo out and made a status about it say anything good. Everyone is like, okay, we just came out of a global pandemic, and like this is what television has come to. There is no way.
I disagree. I watched that promo because I was thinking when you were describing it, I'm like, this is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. But then watching it, you're like, this is actually pretty funny. I mean, if you're trying to take it seriously, like, oh, are these two people going to end up getting married? I want to know what their relationship's like.
But they're supposed to date.
Get rid of that.
What do you tell your kid someday? Well, you know, when I met your mother, she...
she was dressed like a penguin.
But watching two people, I mean, it's just funny. You're watching two people dressed as an iguana and as a dolphin sit there and have a real conversation about, like, well, what kind of movies do you like and stuff? Like, it's funny.
But I don't know if it's supposed to be satire or serious. That's what I couldn't get out of the minute-long promo that they were running. I don't know if it's supposed to be, like... watch this and laugh your butt off because we're making fun of these people for doing it and they know it.
What's the name of this thing?
Sexy Beasts.
Sexy Beasts.
Or if it was like, this is an actual dating service that we're going to throw out for reality TV and these people are seriously looking for love. Like, I couldn't determine which one it was.
Okay, how important are looks to you, Katie?
Well, I mean, that's attraction. That's what makes you go to someone and say, I would like to get to know them, because you're basing everything off of that first glance. So I would say that looks, as like a primal instinct, that is pretty important. And then you get to know the person.
Right.
And once you get to know them, you could be like, yikes, that person is not for me. Like, you're handsome, but we are not a match made in heaven.
Uh-huh.
Or you could totally fall in love with them and fall... hard for them because of their personality, because of who they are.
Yeah, looks are not enough, clearly.
Not enough.
But they are important, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
If you're watching the webcam right now, you'll know that looks are the most important thing to me. Like, people are always like, it's just weird. Like, people are always talking about, oh, you know, you want to date somebody who has integrity. And I'm like, come on. Come on, how much work have you done on your done on your lips? That's what I want to know.
You're so silly, Ryan.
Well, I married so far beyond my looks, and I don't know whether she's got vision problems or, but that's the key.
That's not true.
That's the key.
But Georgianne, and she's Greek, so she's got this like perfect skin, and she's got the greatest smile. Man, her smile, that's the first thing I noticed. The first thing I said was, hi, Smiley. That was my first line.
I love it.
And, so looks are very... I could not date a buffalo.
Did you have a big, fat Greek wedding?
Oh, buddy. It was big and fat. So, you know, it's like the movie. You got the receiving line, and here comes Nick. And this is my cousin Nick. And it's my Uncle Nick, you know, and it's just like, they're all George, Nick, and Gus. It was like, you know,
Gus!
Right. And And they all speak Greek, you know, the family, the extended family.
Oh,
and
Greek, okay.
They're Greek. Okay. Yeah, yeah, mom and dad are both Greek. And dad's father came to the United States with nothing, had nothing, couldn't speak English, 1908.
Wow.
And ended up in Detroit. And he got a job washing dishes because that was the job he got. And he got two different jobs, ended up buying a little bar, ended up then buying a bigger restaurant and having a nightclub, and he did very well. And that's America, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. that's what's so great about this country. But, yeah, mom and dad are both still living, and they're 100% Greek. My wife's grandmother. So in Greek, you know, the word for grandma is Yaya.
Yaya. Yeah,
yeah. Okay. Yaya. Mm-hmm. And so her name was Poniatoula. But short, it was Tula. She was the Ayatollah.
Ayatollah.
She was the Ayatollah, and she was tough, man. She was tough.
I love it.
So, but yeah, I don't know. I would not date a buffalo, and I don't think I'll be watching your show, Katie.
That's okay. I think I'm going to give it a try. I think I'm going to watch it and see. It's 2 6 episode seasons of Sexy Beasts. So I'm gonna see what's up. 48 unique makeup designs. I want to see what they come up with. I want to see if it will be genuine, because like I said, there is a TV show on Netflix called Love is Blind, and I thought that was going to be a joke, and I was obsessed with it. I was so obsessed with
it. You guys
it.
Watch a lot of TV?
Streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like series or random stuff or one-off shows, or like you'll sit and watch an entire series of something?
I will. I actually watched the entire series Supernatural, which if you know how many episodes there were, there's like 300 episodes of that show. But once I get into it, I usually have to finish it. I can't not. I got to have closure.
You got to know.
Yeah, which is why I hate. I've talked about this before on the show. Like movies, there are so many movies now, and I'm talking about big budget, not like indies that are trying to be artistic.
Right.
They do it all the time. But big budget movies now, they'll set up some amazing premise, and then you're waiting, oh, how's this going to end? How's this going to end? And they just sort of chop the ending off and leave you wondering.
Lousy.
As if no good. That's an ending. Like, it's a trend, and
it's a matter
I can't
with people
stand
out
it.
There.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people that constantly go back to my comfort TV shows. Like,
yep.
I'm definitely open to trying something new, especially with my husband, because that's a cool bonding experience
right, yeah.
when you find something that you both love and you're like, oh, let's watch it tonight.
Yeah,
like,
that's true.
It's so much fun. I love having those moments with David. But I'm also someone, like, I'm rewatching Frasier again for the umpteenth
great
time.
Show.
Oh,
great
Frasier
show.
Is seriously, I love it. I
great
love
show.
It. But I go back to these comfort TV shows because it's like, do I want to put in the effort to watch something new? Do I want to be that engaged? Or do I just want to put something on, not really have to pay attention,
right.
do whatever it is the heck I want to do around the house, and know that TV show, I can pick up where I left off and know everything about it.
We used to watch Hunter every night when we first got married. Remember that show? Hunter?
No.
Fred Dyer he was a defensive end for the Rams. He played a detective. Stephanie Kramer was in
it
that.
Sounds
right.
like a nice. Late 70s, early 80s
yeah,
type
yeah,
show.
Of course. Well, I'm old, yeah. you know. What are you going to do? So have you ever seen a musical act before they were famous? Like a band or a concert, and you went and saw them, and then they became like
gosh, I don't think
famous.
I have. That would have been, that's a dream, though. I would love that.
You know, because we had Mississippi Nights here for years in St. Mm-hmm. Louis, and like the Police played there. Before
oh
they
my
were,
gosh!
You know,
oh, yes.
300 people, you know.
So cool.
And so a lot of that. Well, our next guest, 16 years old. I predict we will meet her before she becomes really famous.
Ooh.
That's coming up right around the corner. It's the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk. Oh yeah! Hey, it's John Hancock sitting in for Annie Fry. It's the Annie Fry Show, 97.1 FM Talk. Glover comes busting in during the break. Hunter? He's giving me
That's
grief.
That's all he said.
He's giving me grief for watching Hunter.
He opened the
Hunter.
Door and just said one word. He goes, Hunter? and he's right.
It's
as
a great
if
show.
Katie and I are going to be like, oh, yeah.
Well, you guys
like,
remember.
That wasn't even in reruns. They didn't even play. That was like a one-run show, and it was done.
It was one of the great cop shows of all time.
Was it in reruns?
Might have been.
Because I don't remember.
I can't remember the theme song, though, now that I think of
it.
But
so
I digress. So, you know, we were talking before the break about how cool it is to see somebody, a live musical act, before they're famous. You know, because you could say, you know, I was there in the beginning. Well, we're talking about my wedding, The big fat Greek wedding that Georgianne and I had. Well, one of the bridesmaids was her good friend Lisa. And Lisa was a bridesmaid. Lisa married Ray Mahoubi, who's a great musician in his own right. And they had a daughter, Izzy Mahoubi. And I met Izzy. They came through St. Louis. They live in Phoenix. And they came through St. Louis a few years ago when Izzy was, 13 years old. And she was singing and really talented. And she just keeps getting better. And she joins us right now. Izzy Mahoubi, how are you, kiddo?
How are you? I'm good.
So you're 16 now, right?
Yes.
So that you're going to be a junior in high school.
I'm going to be a senior, actually. Oh. I'm very young for my grade.
Well, you do seem to be a quick starter out there. So
yes.
Tell me about how you got into the whole musical genre. And what kind of music is most appealing for you?
Well, the most appealing for me is writing my own music. Being like a singer-songwriter has always been my outlet of music. I started playing guitar when I was 12, and I shortly taught myself many of the chords I know and many of the writing styles that I still do today. And I listen to a lot of music that's like that, just people who are writing their stories and just telling stories through their songs is what I love to do.
What comes first for you, the music or the lyrics?
Whenever people ask that, it's always different every single time, but usually it is the lyrics. I have like an idea of what I want to say, and then I pick up my guitar and try to find a melody that I think is okay, and then I just go along and try to make a pretty clear story.
Well, if it's okay with you, you've got a brand new release out, a great piece of music called One More Song. Do you mind if we play that?
Of course.
All right, let's hear One More Song, Izzy Mahoubi.
These race cars are moving a little too fast. Thought this summer really would last. Long days disappear as the end draws near. Because you're going and going and going until you're gone. Thought that we'd sing one more song. But you can't fight the road that lies ahead. And you can't. I can't fight the road that lies.
Well, folks, you heard her before she makes it big, and it's going to happen. Izzy Mahoobe, 16 years old from Phoenix, Arizona. That was One More Song. Man, you had some good musicians on that thing. Where'd you cut that?
I recorded it in Nashville.
Yeah, and so studio musicians, were they people that you knew, had worked with, or do you, how do you put something like that together?
So I have a great producer. His name is Ford Thurston, and he plays the guitar. So he was playing the guitar on that track. But, yes, the session musicians who play on that song are absolutely incredible. Some of the greatest musicians I've ever met. And they just really, like, took the demo that I had brought them and, like, completely changed it to something incredible. And I'm so grateful that I was able to work with them.
Izzy, this is Ryan. Katie, the producer here, and I both have worked in the music industry in different regards, I guess. She's a musician and I'm not. I've just kind of been in the business. Do people tell you a lot being 16? You have a leg up on everybody being that young and entering with really good stuff already?
Yeah, I mean, I've been hearing that since I started, which I'm really grateful that I got into this when I did. So, yeah.
Hey, Izzy, this is Katie. I just want to say kudos. It is a spectacular thing and a great feeling making a song, but one that rocks is such a great accomplishment. That song is so wonderful. It was so catchy. You have a great voice.
Yeah, it's got a great hook.
Oh, great hook. Yeah. I do have a question, though. Have you been having a hard time balancing out schoolwork and any extracurriculars and making music and, you know, kind of pursuing your dreams? Because 16 years old, I mean, there's a lot that you have to do and a lot that you're accomplishing right now at this age. Have you found it a difficult task to, you know, kind of have your dream and to pursue that as well as balancing out everything else that you have to do in your life?
Oh, for sure. So I would say over COVID, I really realized, like, when I had, like, lockdown and I had just an abundant amount of time, mm-hmm. I was really able to, like, do what I loved again instead of, like, worrying about school and worrying about, you know, just everything that I had to do with my own life, like, apart from music. So just having that time is when I wrote One More Song, and that is kind of what that's what the song is about, is just like what I love to do. Mm-hmm. But yes, it does get really busy with school and with life. And I'm just very glad I'm on summer break right now.
Yes.
And I don't have to worry about that. So,
yes, girl. Who is the artist that you would love to work with the most? It could be a producer or a musician. What artist do you think, my gosh, one day I'd love to collaborate with them?
Okay, so I'm going to give you two. So Maggie Rogers is one of my favorite singer-songwriters. She is incredible. Her writing style is absolutely amazing, and she's inspired so much of my work. But a producer I'd love to work with is Jack Antonoff. He produces, like, Taylor Swift and Lorde.
Yes,
and, you know,
girl.
Great big
Lorde just
singers.
Came out
and
with a new – did you hear that Lorde came out with a new
yes.
single? Oh, love
power.
It. Yes.
Yeah.
You've
it's
turned into
so one good. Yes. So I would love to work with him too.
Have you ever seen the show Hunter?
We haven't either.
Inside joke, sorry.
Yeah. So yeah, what's next? I mean, you're producing really high quality work. You're writing the music you're producing is fabulous. What's next?
Well, I, you know, things are starting to open up, so I'm starting to perform again, which has been great, and I actually have another single coming out next month. So right now it's just getting ready to promote that and then getting ready to perform and just, you know,
where do people get a hold of your music? How can they follow your career? Cause I'm telling you folks, this young lady's going to make it.
Thank you. My social media. So I'm very active on Instagram. It's Izzy Mahoobe Music. And then I'm on Spotify and iTunes and Apple Music. And it's just my first and last name.
Izzy, I-Z-Z-Y, Mahoobe, M-A-H-O-U-B-I, for those of you who have spelling challenges like myself. Hey, really great stuff, Izzy.
Thank you.
Congratulations. Good luck. Say hi to your folks. And we'll keep our eye on you.
Okay, thank you so much.
You bet.
I got to tell you, from doing sort of some work in, so I was doing TV before this. One of our shows was about artists trying to make it, basically in the same spot as she's in. It is incredible. If you hit, Katie, you might have experienced this. If you hit like your mid-20s and you haven't completely broken through, you're done.
Yeah.
Like, they just, you're too old.
Well, whenever I was doing some stuff for American Idol and I was competing with people like 35, 36, 37, at the time I was 19 and I was doing it to like have fun and have this really great experience.
Did you make it through?
I made it to Hollywood.
Wow. But I did not know that.
Yeah.
You know, I was kind of like bopping around and like doing my own thing and being like wild and crazy like a 19-year-old. And these 35, 36, and 37-year-olds were like, get out of my workspace. I mean, they were so serious because you're right. They're like, we are at the age of like, I mean, we are way far past
the age of
making it.
See, I'm surprised they were even in their 30s and still trying.
Well, who was that one guy that won American Idol? The old guy with gray hair.
I know who you're talking about.
Yeah, it'll come to me. Was it Hunter? No, it was...
Ask Dave Glover.
Yeah.
Dave Glover knows all about Hunter.
Taylor Hicks.
Taylor Hicks.
He won.
Yes, he did.
And then poof. I mean, not. You know,
that's what a lot of those guys
are doing.
Probably singing.
The demo.
Probably singing at casinos these days.
No, we had 29-year-olds on our show that were like, "I'm so thank you so much for giving me this opportunity because everybody else has told me I'm done."
Well, we go from Izzy Mahoobie to the governor of Missouri. How's that for a program? It's the Annie Fry Show, and we will visit with Governor Mike Parson when we come back. Izzy Mahoobie again. That's Izzy Mahoobie at Instagram. Follow her on social media. Get that music. And folks, we will see you right around the corner on the Annie Fry Show on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.